Welcome to Just a Minute. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons. And as the minute waltz fades away, once more it is my pleasure to introduce the four knowledgeable and experienced broadcasters who this week are going to play Just a Minute. We welcome Derek Nimmo, Peter Jones, Tim Rice, and Stanley Unwin. Would you please welcome all four of them? As usual, I'm going to ask them if they can speak on the subject that I give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from that subject. Beside me sits Ian Messiter, who thought of the game. He also has a stopwatch in one hand, a whistle in the other, which he blows when 60 seconds are up. And we'll begin the show this week with Derek Nimmo. Derek, the subject, actors. Will you tell us something about that in this game, starting now?
John Gielgud, Laurence Olivier, Ralph Richardson, Sir Henry Irving.
Tim Rice has challenged almost immediately. Tim, what was your challenge?
It was a very lengthy pause. hesitation.
It was what I call teetering on a pause, but not enough to be considered a fault. So we give it against Derek Nimmo, so he gets a point for a wrong challenge. He keeps the subject of actors. 55 seconds to go, starting now.
The first act, I suppose, took place in the wonderful plays of Plautus and Terence all those years ago in ancient Greece and then Rome following that.
Tim Rice has challenged again.
So he has the opposite fault now. He's going so fast. I can't understand a word he's saying.
So deviating from the pace that he went before.
Well, no, it's just total lack of clarity.
I'd accepted your complaint, and I was trying to help.
Tim, you're doing well. It's good to hear from you. I don't agree with you on game, but so let's... Derek, then we have another point, and 47 seconds to continue with actors, starting now.
Well, the English theatre began in the cathedrals of the Middle Ages. Liturgical drama. It's very interesting. The very first actors in Britain were, in fact, monks. And the stock comic character, the nagging wife, was played by a Franciscan in drag and used to rush up and down the aisles of these great churches, nagging old Mr. Noir.
Tim Rice has challenged.
Did we not have two naggings?
Thank you very much, audience. I was listening. For the benefit of the listeners whose ears aren't quite as sharp as mine, some of the audience were telling me they'd had two naggings, and they were nagging me then to remind me that it was a correct challenge from Tim Rice. He gets a point for that, takes over the subject of actors, and 20 seconds are left, Tim, starting now.
There are some people who would say that actors are a shifty, lazy bunch of ne'er-do-wells. I do not subscribe to this controversial view. I have found in my long career in show business, particularly in theatre, that almost every single actor is a wonderful, warm human being, like Cardinal Richelieu was in the 17th century.
Whoever is speaking, when the whistle is blown, gains an extra point. On this occasion, it was Tim Rice. And at the end of that round, he and Derek Nimmo are equal with 2 points each. Tim, would you like to take the next round? And the subject is openers. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
When I hear the word...
And Peter Jones has challenged.
Very slow off the mark, I know. Yeah.
So there's Peter Jones, one of the long-standing members of the this show, getting back at one of the newer members, Tim Rice. I think if I was strict with Tim before, so I'll have to be the same with you on this occasion, Pete, and say it wasn't a correct challenge. So Tim gets another point.
Thank you, John.
And there are 59 seconds. You only waited for half a second, actually, on openers, starting now.
The two kinds of openers that spring to mind are cricketing openers and things for getting into unopenable objects, such as tins and cans. The
Derek Nimmo challenge.
Well, if they're unopenable objects, you couldn't get into them, could you? So deviation.
Very good.
I think that's a very clever challenge which deserves the subject a point and 50 seconds for you, Derek, on openers starting now.
Cyril Washbrook and Sir Leonard Hutton, for me, will always be two of the greatest openers that I've ever had the privilege to watch. At Old Trafford in 1948, striding in against the Australians at an enormous score against them, these two...
Tim Rice challenged.
I think Len Hutton was dropped for that game in 94.
No,
it was a great controversy. They played George Emmett of Gloucestershire instead.
I don't think it was that game, actually, Jim.
Oh, really?
I think it was another game. But you tried very well and very hard, but didn't succeed, and Derek still has a subject. 30 seconds on openers, starting now.
I have, personally, the most interesting corkscrew, which I use to open bottles of wine. And I will show it to you after this game. You will be most intrigued, because you put it in, and it has a kind of lattice effect. You pull out the... And there it is, for you able to drink this marvellous beverage that lies within. I also...
Stanley Unwin has challenged.
Well, you did the corkscrew triddly how. It was and I thought that was a little hiatus there. Or would you say an intersection flexion?
I will give you the point for that,
okay,
and the subject as well, and tell you that you have 10 seconds to tell us something about openers starting now.
If I poke a bit, it's the first opening you've got to Fido and triddly how for trumps and call form. And then it'll keep joy digging the pocket. Ah, folly.
Stanley, at the end of that round, you've got 2 points, because you got one for speaking as the whistle went. You're in third place behind Tim Rice and Derek Nimmo's in the lead. Peter Jones has yet to score, and he begins the next round. And the subject, Peter, is indiscretion. Will you tell us something about that in this game, starting now?
Well, it's very easy to be indiscreet or to drop a brick
Derek
if you're
Nimmo
in unfamiliar
challenged.
Surroundings.
Well, I'm
sorry,
that he
kind.
Bunged in an hour, I'm afraid.
He did bung in an hour, didn't he? I'm afraid you definitely had an there, Peter. I think he was very mean to challenge.
I wish I could get into some other show.
I mean, others might have let it go as you'd only just started. But
chairman might have said that I merely teetered. But you see, you didn't say that. You only said it about Derek.
The teetering is when it's an actual space, but yours was an actual
I see.
And I said others would have let it go, but a competitive player like Derek Nimmo won't. And
never have George Cole on this show, because he'd never be allowed to talk about indoors.
So 56 seconds, Derek, on indiscretion, starting now.
It is very indiscreet, in fact, to say in just a minute, because if you do, you're challenged by stupid people like Derek Nimmo, who are determined to win the game.
Peter Jones is challenged.
No one quite as stupid as Derek Nimmo.
Yes, that's right. Yes, he did. But as in view of all the things that Derek Nimmo said about me over the years, I'm going to give Peter Jones a bonus point for that particular remark. But as I'm always fair when I do this particular job, I will still leave the subject with Derek Nimmo and tell him that he has 46 seconds to continue on indiscretion, starting now.
I once went to a nudist colony, and there I performed the most extraordinary indiscretion. They were having letters for luncheon, and in came a total stranger, and one of the women there picked up one of the leaves of this vegetable and covered her private areas with it, and in came a rabbit, and you know what this beast did? It was so indiscreet you cannot imagine. Mind you, there are other places in the world you can be indiscreet, like the League of Nations.
Tim Rice has challenged.
Two indiscreets.
That's right, you were indiscreet before, and indiscretion
well,
is
indiscretion
is the word on the card.
Oh, is it?
Yes, it is indeed, yes. So, Tim Rice...
Indiscreet.
Yes.
Indiscretion
is the word on the card. Tim Rice has got him with 11 seconds to go and another point, of course, and he starts now.
I'm sure there is a great deal of resentment among senior, aged members of this panel that young upstarts such as myself are indiscreet.
Derek Nimmo challenged.
Deviation. He's already announced that he's a senior member. He can't be a young upstart 1 minute and a senior member...
I think he was trying to compare himself with you, Derek.
Oh, I said, I'm sure there will be resentment among senior members.
No, in the previous round, you said you were an old codger or something.
Oh, did I?
Well, if you didn't, you should have done.
Derek, I disagree with your challenge, Derek. Tim has another point in 5 seconds on indiscretion, starting now.
How bitter and twisted people become after a few years on this panel. I have noticed it.
The end of that round, Tim Rice, having gained an extra point for speaking as the whistle went, is now equal in the lead with Derek Nimmo. They're followed by Stanley Unwin and then Peter Jones. And Stanley, your turn to begin. The subject, which I think you know quite a bit about, actually, engines. Will you tell us something about those in this game, starting now?
A quick mention of three engines here. Two of them, one is the petrol, and the other is the diesel. There, they go half a load down, with exploding at the top of the piston, down, and half a load goes from an 80. Right? The third one is the rotating jet, which Sir Frank Whittle, which he invented just after the war, when the earth is splashing through, exploding the town Barry's Road, and he put one on the back of a lorry. This is near Lutworth, where his factory, Snuffy Poo through the window. I got one. Now then, this lorry triddly ho forward, and all the engine that was in the forward weighed it right to idle. Oh, folly. So now we come to the diesel, you see, because this has got a high pressure...
Peter Jones has challenged.
Well, he's mentioned the diesel at least twice.
Peter, I agree with your challenge. 24 seconds for you to tell us something about engines starting now.
Well, years ago, Stanley advised me to change my oil fairly frequently. And I thought at first he was being personal. But he was talking about a new car that I'd got. It must be 7 years ago. And I did that and have done it regularly ever since. And it's gone beautifully. Still got it. And the engine ticks over like a clock.
Derek Nimmo challenged.
None of his little errs.
None of his little errs, yes. 5 seconds for you, Derek, on engine starting now.
As a boy, I used to collect train numbers. I used to go to Crewe Junction and see the Flying Scotsman come through.
Well, Derek got an extra point speaking as the whistle went, and now he's taken the lead ahead of Tim Rice, and he begins the next round. The subject, Derek, is sauce. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
I'd always wanted to find the source of the Nile, and I decided to start my...
So there he definitely is. So Tim got in, and that was your challenge, I presume, Tim?
That was my challenge.
Right, so you have sauce and 55 seconds starting now.
I first heard this word sauce when I was extremely young, and it had...
It's not easy. You try playing it at home. Even when you think you know what you're going to say, you can trip up so easily. And Derek was the first to press his buzzer. He's back in with sauce, 50 seconds, starting now.
I landed port side.
Tim Rice, the challenge.
I thought there was a definite stumble over the second word.
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
48 seconds, still with you, Derek, on sauce starting
what
now.
What is sauce for the goose is sauce for the gander. Then we travelled overland to Alexandria, and I took a boat up the Nile as far as Cairo. Here, I went to Castle Neal Street to get a little place on a steamer.
Peter Jones has challenged.
Well, he not only hesitated, but he's talking not about sauce, but about sauce. It's your pronunciation, which I think probably put him on the wrong foot. But anyway...
Well, I've never actually heard anybody... the spelling is different, but I think they're both pronounced sauce.
Sauce. And
Peter,
sauce.
I'm sorry to have to tell you, I don't know anybody who says sauce like that. But I do agree with your challenge.
Oh, thanks.
Because he did hesitate.
Yes.
And you have 33 seconds to tell us something about sauce or sauce now.
There's A1 and OK... And béarnaise sauce, particularly rich. I rather like that. You have to have shallots and lots of butter. And other things like cream can be made into sauce very easily if you warm it up and put a few drops of some essence in it, like soya.
You err a lot, as you think, Peter.
Yes, I know. It's awful, isn't it?
Yes, well, of course, you haven't played the game since the last series, so this is you getting back into your stride. And Derek got in quicker than anybody else, so he's got the subject back with 14 seconds to go, starting now.
I spent a very happy night last evening with the Roux brothers, those who run the Gavroche restaurant.
Tim Rice challenged.
Deviation. You can't spend an evening all night or a night just an evening. When he said, I spent a very happy night last evening. Well, it's impossible.
Absolutely right, Tim, yes, yes. Your command.
Well, you can spend an evening that seems like all night.
But when you use words in the way that Tim Rice does...
all night when you say night.
No, quite.
I mean, I agree with it is night time now, but it's not 3 a.m.
No, and we are not with the Roux brothers.
But Tim Rice had a correct challenge. So he has the subject of sauce with 7 seconds to go, starting now.
My childhood was dominated by that red bottle of a make who I will not advertise on this programme, and you could never get the sauce out of the said object.
Well, Tim Rice got some more points in that round, including that one for speaking when the whistle went. He's now 1 point behind our leader, who's still Derek Nimmo, followed now by Peter Jones and then Stanley Unwin in that order. Tim, it's your turn to begin. The subject, discs. I'm sure you know a bit about that with all the music that you... all the songs you composed. Will you tell us something about discs in just a minute, starting now?
Being a man built on gorilla-like lines, I have great trouble with my back, and the reason I have difficulty with this part of my body is that there are lots of discs in my spine, which means it is extremely hard at times for me to keep 100% fit, and if one of these little jobs goes a bit wacky, I have to go through absolute hell. It is no picnic, I tell you, being 6'4", or anyway, nearly 193 on the metric scale, because all those little discs in my back play me up, day in, day out. And I really wish...
And Derek Nimmo got in first.
Twice a day.
Yes, phrases that come naturally to mind,
yes,
can be repetitious in just a minute. Day in and day out. 27 seconds are left with you to
There
talk.
Was a bit of self-pity in there as well, wasn't there, don't you think? I thought there was.
Yes.
Yes. I nearly threw a few pennies over, you know.
I think he needs them. 27 seconds for you, Derek, on discs, starting now.
I once cut a disc of a song called Toast and Honey and Crumpet for Tea, and it stayed in the shop so long that the hole in the centre healed. It was quite the nastiest disc that you'd ever heard. I have made other gramophone records, and they've all been absolutely beastly. The first disc I ever heard, which I thought was really any good at all, was Tim Wright.
Well, Derek Nimmo got more points in that round and increased his lead, and Peter Jones begins the next round. Peter, the subject, aphorisms. Will you tell us something about those in this game, starting now?
They should really be single sentences and witty and pithy. I thought of one the other day. Alternative comedy is what people turn to if they want to stop laughing.
And Tim Wright's challenge.
Well, there was a rather long silence.
Yes, if they want to stop laughing, and he actually stopped talking.
Yes, he achieved.
Yes.
He proved
but
the point.
I think he was expecting an alternative laugh, wasn't he?
Yes, I thought
he
it
was
would
definitely
be a laugh,
expecting
but there you
a...
are.
Tim needs to rest his back after that long surgery he had in the
yes,
last round.
Dreadful.
I think we'll leave it with you, Peter, with another point and 48 seconds on aphorisms, starting now.
I have a friend in New York who actually publishes books of aphorisms. One I remember is...
Stanley Unwin challenge.
Is.
No.
Well, as I didn't give it to him when Tim challenged him, I don't think I could do it again when you did, son.
Is.
It was very close, but he's... you know, it would be unfair if I gave it against...
Is. The Mets offer the participle in the past tense of it, and he's got his slip nation of the first throw. It was the last one we spoke about.
I quite agree with you, Stanley. It was so beautifully expressed as well.
Yeah, I was thinking of vertebrae, and as I thought of vertebrae with a disc called Slippery Huffalo Towder,
yes.
Suddenly I realised it was an awful mistake to refer to the arm or the heart.
Yes.
Folly. Deep folly.
I'm sorry. I do apologise, Stanley, yes.
Could you be granty.
Peter, would you like to continue with aphorisms and 42 seconds starting now?
Well, he has one which goes, revenge is sweet, but not nourishing.
And in the middle of the aphorism, you were buzzed, which I thought
Who
was rather
buzzed
mean.
Me?
Tim Rice buzzed you.
No sense of theatre has he, Ron?
No.
Coming up to your big
Absolutely. Someone's making a joke.
I would have buzzed in the middle of a joke.
There was no indication whatsoever there was going to be a laugh coming up. In fact, exactly the opposite.
There's never any indication until you've spoken when the laugh is coming, but you always live dangerously in comedy. Right, we've cleared that one up. What was your challenge, Tim?
I have to say, I can't remember. deviation,
just...
grammatical. He said, one's go. He confused his...
He was trying
really
to keep going under pressure
yes.
with someone with you
breathing
down his
it.
Neck with an itchy finger on the buzzer and there, trying to pick him up and everything. 37 seconds, still with you, Peter, on aphorisms, starting now.
Well, I don't think there's very much left to say about aphorisms.
It's... And Stanley Unwin's challenge. What was your challenge, Stanley?
My challenge... Did I do a Tretzov?
Yes, that's right.
Oh, I did the Presley Titloader. Paul's accusation if you're old.
Yes, that's right.
But I thought there was a little game between through, who, and told.
Yes.
That's what I didn't hear quite straight, but I don't mess up.
Well, he said there was nothing more to say on the subject.
Can I go ahead now?
Yes, you can have the subject.
Thank you.
Stanley, excuse me, is it true you're studying English as a second language?
Yes, I have all the Fardy Sibyls lined up. Declime, conjugapers, all these be true. And the pure grammatical syntax in the farthest Fardy Sibyl you can ever throw. Oh, yes.
I would like to tell you, Stanley, that this might interest you, and it's absolutely true, that I have been told, you know, just a minute, goes around the world to many countries, and in many countries it's listened to entirely by students to try and improve their English.
Yes.
So after this, I don't know what's going to happen to some of the people who write to me. So, Stanley, you have 33 seconds to tell us something about aphorisms, starting now.
Well, the thundermould of aphorism has just been told so well by Peter Thorkus in his own Milo. But mine is this, and it's to Shakespeare, if you old, because an aphorism is a pithy saying, but you say with your teeth, but your attention fets off a pithy, because it's a funny word in the middle of a plant loader. Oh, no. No. Take, for instance, an aphorism in Shakespeare, the silk purse of the south earlobe.
Before the silk purse, we had a challenge from Derek Nimmo.
Well, he said, oh, no, no, so I thought I'd get him on no.
Oh.
Derek, you have 16 seconds to tell us something about aphorisms, starting now.
Well, aphorisms are very interesting and awfully useful to pop into a long sentence so that people will think that you can speak for 6 seconds, including an aphorism, which seems to be going on a frightfully long time in this minute.
So at the end of that round, Derek Nimmo got points, including one for speaking as a whistle went, has increased his lead ahead of Tim Rice, who's in second place still. Peter Jones is catching up on Tim Rice. Stanley Unwin is still training a little, and he begins the next round. And the subject, Stanley, for you is ego. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
Emerson wrote an essay on the ego and said that he thought there must be some necessity in nature which it's served on account of the prevalent in notable people showing their ego and protruding chesky or turned up nose insofar as the snobbery hoed for it. Oh, yes. Now then.
Tim Rice, you challenged.
That's a sort of end of part one break.
Yes, I think you've got to keep going. You can't sort of put it into chapters or well, that side.
No, there was no deviators, was there? No, Tim Rice, got
there wasn't deviation,
my left-hand cycle.
It was not even a pause. It was a complete full stop, actually.
Thank you. Can I trickle how?
No, I mean, you can't trickle on, no.
Oh, follow.
42 second egos on ego, with you, Tim, starting now.
Ego, or ego, as I have always...
And Derek Nimmo, has got in.
Packed up, didn't he, really?
Yes, right. 38 seconds for you, Timo. I mean, Nimmo. Derek on ego starting now.
Well, Tim.
And you got straight back there, Tim. And I know the challenge, 37 seconds for you on ego, starting now.
Ego is the Latin for I, and those Romans knew a thing or two. They made this word one of their most intrinsic and vital part of their language, which, some people say, is useless to us in our modern age. I disagree most forthrightly. Latin is invaluable, and I am encouraging at every opportunity young children of today to learn this wonderful ancient language. Ego, yes...
Peter Jones is challenged.
I think he mentioned language before.
Yes, he did. Well listened, Peter. And you have 12 seconds on ego starting now.
Well, it isn't terribly easy for somebody with such a modest ego as I have to speak on the subject because I feel so retiring and I'm so intimidated by these people around me that I find...
Peter still managed to keep going to the whistle when gained the extra point. He's still in third place, just behind Tim Rice, and who's just behind Derek Nimmo, and they're all just ahead of Stanley Unwin. Derek, it's your turn to begin. The subject is Liverpool. We know you know something about that, because that is your birthplace, I believe. Will you tell us something about the city in this game, starting now?
Oh, how very kind, Mr. Chairman, to ask me to talk about Liverpool. Liverpool! Old smoky place I call my own. Liverpool is where I'd like to be. It's terribly smashing.
Peter Jones has challenged.
I'd like him to be there as well.
So have you another challenge besides that, Peter?
Well, he was singing, and you're supposed to speak for a minute, not sing.
Well, we give you one...
If that's what it was.
We give you a bonus point anyway for your delightful challenge. And, yes, I think he was slightly deviating, because the way he was going, that singing did drag it out too long to be considered justifiable in just a minute. So you will tell us something about Liverpool now, Peter, with 46 seconds to go, starting now.
It's one of the biggest cities that I ever went to when I was a child. In fact, the first. And I was so impressed.
Derek Nimmer challenged.
You went to London first?
No, I didn't.
Well, it was worth a go, wasn't it?
So, Peter Jones has another point in 40 seconds. And I'll let you know now, this is the last round, Peter, and you're catching up on Tim Rice, but you have to get a few more points to catch up on Derek Nimmo, and the subject is still Liverpool. 40 seconds, starting now.
Because I was brought up in the North Midlands, and Lime Street Station, when we arrived there, was immensely impressive, because there were people shining one's shoes, people in red coats.
Tim Rice challenge.
An error.
There was an error, I'm afraid. You definitely erred after the shining of the shoes. 28 seconds for you, Tim Rice, to tell us something about Liverpool, starting now.
It is extraordinary how a comparatively small city, and I'm talking in comparison with other huge conurbations such as London and Birmingham, can have produced so many dynamic and wonderful personalities over the decades, years, hours and minutes of our time. I'm thinking of...
Stanley Unwin challenged.
Well, a little quick arm philolopped in there, I thought.
You were very quick, yes. You philolopped in very quickly, but what did you philolop with?
Philobolas.
Well, my challenge is he said an arm in the mid-load.
Not in the... No, neither in the middle or the mid-load.
Well, deep apology on my left-hand side, Gold. All right.
Well,
only
he
I
said,
had a thought it Ridley Howe around the brain bocker, and I thought it was there.
He mentioned Birmingham.
In order to be fair, and there is a chance that Tim could actually catch up on Derek Nimmo, and this is the last round, so I think I must be very fair here, because some people are concerned about whether they win or not, and I don't think you have a... With the greatest respect, Stanley, I don't think you have much chance of winning, even if you've got the subject. There are 10 seconds left for Tim Rice with another point on Liverpool, starting now.
Billy Fury was a great Liverpudlian, a man who made a string of successful popular recordings in the 1960s. I always felt that young William, or Ronald Wycherley as his real name...
I said a few moments ago it was going to be the last round, and it is. And let me give you the final situation. Stanley Unwin, coming from nowhere, because he only played the game once before, I think he gave us tremendous value, but he did finish in fourth place. Thank you for coming and joining us, Stanley. And Peter Jones gave his usual tremendous value, whether he was being with an aphorism or not. And he finished in third place, not very far behind Tim Rice, who has not played as often as Derek Nimmo. And he was only 1 point behind Derek Nimmo. So Derek Nimmo is the winner this week. We do hope you've enjoyed this edition of Just a Minute, and it remains for me to say thank you on behalf of our lovely team, which is Tim Rice, Derek Nimmo, Peter Jones and Stanley Unwin, and the man who thought of the game, who sits beside me here, Ian Messiter, our producer, Edward Taylor, and from me, Nicholas Parsons, thank you for tuning in. We hope that you'll want to tune in again the next time we take the air and we play Just a Minute. Until then, from all of us here, goodbye.